Heavenly Father, we worship you. We're so grateful for the privilege to be called your own. Thank you, Lord, for all the miracles that you do, Lord, to keep us, Lord, and to keep us close to yourself. We understand that we are not the ones keeping ourselves. It is you who is keeping us. And so as we come into your presence once again, we come with total dependence on you. As I come, Lord, and ask for fresh mercy. Lord, I duck under the covering of my spiritual fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus, and I ask for fresh unction and mercy, so that, Lord, as I speak your word today, Lord God, I will speak it as an oracle of God. And Lord, you will speak through me your words. That, Lord God, you will set a watch upon my mouth. You will keep the door of my lips, and let your word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Lord, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, that the word will come forth to do an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation, knowledge, and understanding from the Holy Spirit. And our bodies, Lord God, tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. So that there will be more of Christ in us and less of us. As the word goes forth, Lord, I ask that you help me to be concise. I ask for mercy to be faithful. Lord God, so I will speak as a household, as a scribe, instructors unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old, so that in your presence, O God, there will be edification. Lord, there will be, Lord, inspiration. There will be, Lord, deliverance, Lord, upon this mountain of Zion, causing yokes of heaviness to be dispelled and to be broken, that, Lord, we will lift up our head. For our redemption draweth nigh in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing more than we can ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's such a blessing to come to church and find Pastor here. So now that we're the ones here, we have to trust God for mercy. Amen. But I also want to give honor to my fathers, Pastor and Mommy. Thank God for such a beautiful parents that God has given us. Amen. They don't shun to declare unto us the whole counsel of God. Amen. And what a counsel it is. Lord, it is separating us from evil and helping us to follow after in the destiny that God has prepared for us. And only heaven will reveal the great blessing that God has given us, implanting us under their authority and their oversight in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to make the most of it. Amen. And I it's an honor for me to bring the word. I pray that Daddy and Mommy will be a blessing and a refreshing to you and to my brethren in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. The title of this short exhortation is Awake for His Glory. Amen. Awake unto glory, or awake for His glory. You know, because, you know, the glory of God that God is bringing is not something that we are going to be passive about. It's something that we have to be actively involved. Amen. I remember on the mountain of transfiguration, there were three disciples with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. And there were glorious things that were being spoken right there and then. But because their eyes were heavy with sleep, they saw what was happening, but they didn't understand what was happening. God wants us to be awake, not to be asleep. You know, and sleep is a natural thing that comes, you know, when it's time for the glory, as we will see going forward. Because it's the devil that's doing it. He doesn't want you to be aware, to be alert, Lord, to fully cooperate with everything that's going on. You know, and he benefits when we're distracted, and we must not be, in Jesus' name. I also remember, as I just speaking and sharing, you know, I remember when Elisha sent him water in the double portion, which is what God is giving us today. Amen. You know, and Elijah said, you know, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me. And so Elisha had to mark every action Elijah took. He couldn't afford to be asleep. When Elijah said, okay, you can relax here, I don't want to stress you, he said, it's not a stress. There's nothing that is a stress. I'm going with you anywhere you go. I'm following every action that you do. I'm going to mimic everything. I'm copying everything that I see you do. And that's the way we have to be tenacious. We have to be persistent. We have to be dogged about this glory thing. We shouldn't be passive. We should be active. Amen. That's the will of God. Okay. And Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to talk about what the glory is. Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 to 14. Give it to me in the Message Bible. In the Message Bible. So we can just read it through together. And this is your inheritance. But it's put it in very plain language so we can see and understand. Let's read together. If you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, stressing it, and heartily obey all his commandments that I command you today, God, your God, will place you on high, high above all the nations of the world. Next verse. And all these blessings will come down on you and spread out beyond you. Amen. Because you have responded to the voice of God, your God. Next verse. God's blessing inside the city. God's blessing in the country. Next verse. Quickly, please. God's blessing on your children, the crops of your land. Say amen. The young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flock. It's talking about your investments. Amen. Next verse. God's blessing on your basket and your bread bowl. Amen. What you need to eat. Amen. God's blessing in your coming in. God's blessing in your going out. Next verse. God will defeat your enemies who attack you. They'll come out at you one road and run away. How many roads? Seven roads. Amen. Next verse. God will order. It's an order. A blessing on your barns and your workplaces. So there will be a blessing special on everything that you do. He will bless you in the land that God, who? Your God, is giving you. It's a personal thing. Amen. Next verse. God will form you as a people holy to him. He's forming you. That's what he's doing now. Just as he promised you, if you keep the commandments of God, your God, and live the way he has shown you. Now that's the command. That's the condition. You have to live the way he has shown you. Okay? And all the peoples on earth will see you are living under the name of God and hold you in what? Respectful awe. The church is going to enjoy respectful awe. Amen. It's coming. God will lavish you. Tell your neighbor, God will lavish you. God will lavish you with good things. God knows good things. He will lavish you with good things. Children from your womb. Amen. Offspring from your animals. Crops from your land. The land that God promised your ancestors that he will give you. Next verse. God will throw open the door of his sky vaults. Hallelujah. God has vaults in the sky. Don't ask me how, but he's suspending those vaults in the sky. And they're ready to open up on you and I. Amen. And pour rain on your land. On schedule. God is not late. Amen. On schedule in God's time. And bless the work you take in hand. You will lend to many nations, but you yourself won't have to take out a loan. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. God will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be the top dog, never the bottom dog. Amen. As you obediently listen to and diligently keep the commandments of God, your God, that I am commanding you today. Next verse. Don't swerve. Everybody say, don't swerve. Don't swerve an inch to the right or left from the words that I command you today by going off following and worshiping other gods. The devil's aim is to make you and I swerve. And not an inch by a mile. That's why we must be awake unto the glory. This is the land that God has promised us. It's a land where you experience God's eyes upon you, guiding and blessing you. God's hands upon you. Nehemiah spoke about the good hand of the Lord upon me, protecting you, delivering you. When they set traps for you, you will not walk. It will not work, you know, because the Bible says, like Nehemiah said, the good hand of the Lord is upon me. The Bible describes this land in Deuteronomy 11. He says this, it's a land of hills and valleys that drinks the water of the rain of heaven, a land that the Lord your God careth for. God is the special dresser of that land. Amen. For the eyes of the Lord are always upon it from the beginning of year to the end of year. Amen. So God's eyes, God's hands, God's resources are upon this land. Amen. He's our sufficiency in this land. And this land, in the days of Israel, it was a physical land. Okay. And Israel did enter the promised land and occupied it under David. You know, but they didn't enjoy these blessings. So these blessings are left for a generation that is going to believe and press through to experience it. Amen. And you and I are part of that generation in Jesus' name. Okay, so we see that this is what God wants to do, you know, and this land, in to describe it in contemporary times, thank God for our fathers, you know, who have taught us so well. So we understand that this land is not a physical land in our own day, and it's an experience. It's an experience of the perfection and the fullness of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Look at that very quickly. Ephesians 4, 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. Him is Christ. Where? In all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. Jesus left this for us. You know, he tasted of it and then he left the bulk of it for us. Amen. That is the land. It's the land of the perfection where we grow up into Christ in all things. And it brings us into experience of two things: the redemption of our souls and the redemption of our body. Look at the redemption of a soul in Hebrews chapter 8. Let's look at it. Verse 10. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Let's read it. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, that is spiritual Israel, after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Next verse. Thank you. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least unto the greatest. Verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So God is removing all of our sins and iniquities. Now you need to understand that sin is a substance that causes sin. So sin is the corruption, you know, the absence of life. You know, when Satan was cut off from God, the life that was in him now became corrupted, and he is the originator of sin. And when Adam, chose to obey and ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil against God's instruction, that Adam became disconnected from God. That's why he now saw that he was naked, you know, and he had lost the glory. And then he was now, as it were, connected to the devil. And the devil now put his own nature in Adam's spirit, Adam's soul, Adam's body. And over 1,000-year period, Adam eventually died. Okay? And everybody who's born of a man and a woman, you know, has that nature of Adam, partakes of that nature. Okay? Now, when we get born again, that nature is now removed from the inside. Because, you know, the Bible says, you know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So there is a creative supernatural miracle that takes place. It's not just going to church. It is accepting Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and Savior and confessing him as Lord. And there's a supernatural birth that takes place at that time that now causes the nature of the devil to be removed totally from your spirit, and your spirit to be recreated in the image and likeness of God. Now, that recreation, you know, is now Jesus on the inside. Amen? Now that, you know, there's still a residual sin nature in the soul and in the body. So the perfection we speak of is the flushing out progressively by using the blood, the word, and the spirit of the sin nature from the soul and from the body, so that progressively the sins and iniquities are no longer there. So that in the soul now, there is now the life of God occupying fully, and there's now life occupying the body fully. Let's look at that in Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Amen. Great things that God is doing in our lives. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Amen. The first fruit is the earnest. Okay, you are born again and you have the earnest of the Holy Spirit to help you to now do the rest of the work. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to experience the redemption of our body. So now, the purchase possession is spirit, soul, and body. Now, so the down payment is the earnest. No, so God, when you now use the earnest to achieve the flushing out of nature of sin from your soul and your body, then God now comes in and gives you the fullness, what we call the spirit without measure. Amen. All right, so we see that. So that is what this is all about. It's about gradually and progressively, by obeying spiritual instruction under the covering of spiritual fathers, flushing out the nature of sin from our souls and our bodies, and then, preparing ourselves so that ultimately we can be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. And that's going to be manifest in what we call incredible photographic memory, incredible artistic skills, incredible musical ability, incredible mathematical skills, and incredible language learning skills. So we're going to be able to do all these things that are incredible to people. And we've seen a little bit, of it. We talk about the autistic savant, people that, have a release, so to speak, in aspects of their brain, and you can see in that incredible mathematical ability, working. They can calculate, they're quicker than a calculator. They can calculate sums that even supercomputers are grappling with, and we've seen it. We've seen artists who are autistic, but they have an incredible artistic skill. They just look at something, they look at it, and they look at it, and they look at it, and then from memory, I know a particular guy that was an orphanage, and then they discovered that he had that ability from drawing the window of the orphanage, and they started drawing to a place where they got him a studio, and that's all he was doing. So he would go, he went to the Louvre in France, looked at it, and drew it from memory. And for those drawings, it gets paid very handsomely. We've seen that if that's just a token. The pastor was telling us the other day about somebody who went to heaven, and came back, and he could speak, was it 14 languages fluently? These are little tips of what God has in store for the generation that will press in beyond the veil. Amen. And you and I are there in Jesus' name. So this is the will of God for us. And it's going to enable us, God is giving us this to be able to create wealth. We have to create wealth. We're not waiting for people to die so that their wealth can come to us. When you say the wealth of sinners is little for the just, we're not waiting for the sinner to die. We're going to create services while he's alive. Okay, and then he will not be able to do it about the transfer, because the hand of the Lord will be upon what we do. Amen. So we're going to be working. We're going to be productive. We're not going to be sitting down passively praying for people for their money to come to us. That's not the way. That's not the way God has designed it. It's designed by hard work. The Bible says, even that does not work, should not even eat. So God doesn't have. God's not like that. Okay. We're going to produce goods and services that are going to be so competitive that they're just going to be the best there is. And then, of course, on top of that, will now be the spectacular power of God. So we'll be able to do physical miracles like the Lord Jesus Christ did, environmental miracles. We'll be able to do economic miracles, be able to do, the intellectual miracles. We see this all over, environmental miracles. We see Moses, turning water to blood, hail, all that. Those things are going to happen again, on the instruction of the Lord, amen, through his people, amen. We're going to see political miracles like we saw in the time of Daniel, in the time of Esther and Mordecai. We're going to see intellectual miracles greater than the one that we saw with Solomon, amen. I would say Solomon was wiser than all the men of the earth. Even the ones that were reputable, but they were not near Solomon. And Bible says, a greater than Solomon is here. This is our destiny. This is our glory. So anytime, because the devil comes and says, well, you're just doing. No, you don't just do it. You make the right division and make it plain, so you can see where you are going. And have that understanding that we're not just marking time. We are waiting for the Lord to arise upon us. Amen. Amen. So the judge is going to be... Now, what's the condition? The condition is for us to obey his voice. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:18, and Pastor, you shared it last week, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He's talking about this land. And you will eat the good of that land in Jesus' name. Because we learn obedience, you see. Even the Lord Jesus learned obedience. So we have to learn obedience. So we have to move our obedience from 30-fold to 60-fold. Move our obedience to 75-fold. And don't be satisfied with your current level of obedience. No, and you're obeying the voice. You know, there are statutes, there are judgments, there are laws, there are commandments. You will obey all those ones. It's when you have to do that because then you now get ready for the voice. That's why he's talking about Lord your God. And when he says your God, he's talking about fellowship, friendship, intimacy with him. So when he says God your God, so it means that you and him, you become so much aligned. You are cleaving unto the Lord. Amen. That's the will of God for us. But in this land, we must watch out for unbelief. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. We're going to believe unto the saving of our soul in Jesus' name. Amen. Unbelief. Say, for unto us was the gospel preached, not the water gospel, the real gospel. Amen. That's what has been preached to us in this house, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Next verse. We're going to mix ours with faith in Jesus' name. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 9. Thank you. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There's a rest. It's still available. You know, you're not late. The fact that you are here now, you're not late. You are right on time. Amen. Now, why is this very important? There are so many distractions happening around us. There are so many distractions, and it's satanically inspired. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. Verse 11, chapter 11, verse 4, Ecclesiastes. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. At the time you're supposed to sow to yourself in righteousness, you will not, and reap in mercy, you will not, because the devil will bring something that will take your time. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. So a situation where there is nothing on the external, everything, even the external circumstances are all pointing to, it may not necessarily be what is going to happen. The Bible says, I shall set a table for you. Where? In the presence of your enemies. Why did he do that? Why didn't he send all of the enemies away? So that when he's doing it, you know, you can save those enemies. They will change camp. Because the real enemy is the devil. But Satan has deceived men. So men have joined up with him. But God still loves the men and wants to separate them from him. So he will use you and I, you know, and set the table so that they can see clearly that, wow. And they can cross camp. Amen. So it's not always going to be like everything's just going around exactly the way I want it. There are news going on around. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 2 verse 8, say they that observe lying vanities. If you look too much at the wrong thing in your mind, you will forsake, you will overlook, you will ignore the mercy that was right next to you to help you to overcome that thing that you're looking at. So it's very important what you are looking at. I recall this example that mommy shared very recently when we were praying in Good Morning Jesus prayers. And mommy said God just got a hold of her and told her we're praying for United Kingdom for Brexit. You know, and then the corona thing, you know, we've been praying for something. And then the corona thing now came in. And then all of a sudden we're praying for both. But, you know, she said God corrected her. And thank God for parents. Amen. Let's give God a super clap for our beloved parents. You know, because they teach us these things so that we don't have to make the same mistake at our own level in our own lives. I think that's the essence. So we can learn from those mistakes, you know. And she said that God corrected her and said that no, don't get pray. The Brexit is the purpose of God. This thing is a lying spirit. It's a lying spirit. It's meant to distract you from the main thing. This thing's about emphasis. It's about a very close walk with God. We will get there in Jesus' name. Don't worry, God's not going to test you with that today. But there are things of the same caliber that you can handle in your life and in my life today, that you should put emphasis on the correct thing. Amen. And she said, and today, has Brexit not come to pass? Is coronavirus not there? Set a table in the presence of your enemies. Alright? The promise has come to pass. The corona is still there, but the promise has come to pass. You see, amen. Amen, sir. Give God the glory. We see, and that is, it's a time. We inherit these promises, staying focused on what God said. On what God said, not on what the enemy is doing. So your emphasis should be to ensure that you and I are doing what God said more than, of course, we're going to try and push back the enemy, and we're pushing him back, amen, and making sure that, you know, but we don't let that distract us from what God said. Amen. It's a very important balance. And that's what these distractions are all about, okay? So we focus on what God said. Look at Matthew 14, 29 to 31. Matthew 14, 29 to 31. And we see this example. You can laugh, but put yourself inside this story, and then you will see. And Peter saw that it was Lord and said, Lord, bid me come. And he said what? Come. What did he say to Peter? Come. He said, come. There was enough power in that come to bring Peter from where he was to where Jesus was. Amen. Pastor said it when he was talking about trusting God. There is no limit to the power of God. The limit is on our side with our faith. Amen. So we need to focus, our faith is focused on the will of God. So, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Stop. Peter actually walked on the water. He was actually going to Jesus, to go to Jesus. And Satan said, wow, he must not, if he gets this experience, then he's going to realize that there is really nothing he cannot do. So guess what happened next? And when he saw the wind burst, so Satan raised up a wind, boisterous wind. The waves just began to overturn. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Who wouldn't be? But the afraid was to take his focus off the calm that Jesus said. Amen. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And you know, immediately, next verse, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, oh, thou little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? In the Message Bible, you know what that says? It says, faint-hearted one, what got into you? He said, faint-hearted, what got into you? It means that something got inside him. It's an invisible force. It got inside him. You know, this thing is a force versus force thing. There must be enough coming out of you and I that is able to push the devil back so he can do the things you're supposed to do. If there's not enough coming out of you and I, then if what is coming against is more than what you're bringing out, then you will not be able to do the things that you are supposed to do. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll generally win it through. And that's why we come to. So we focus on what God said. And look at Psalm 23, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 23, the popular psalm. We pray it every morning. Good morning, Jesus. And I pray that you keep your ears on it and say amen. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. So, you know, the enemies are there. But as you do what God asks you to do, the oil of anointing on your life continues to increase. So you dominate your enemies. They're not going to go away, you know, because God wants to save them. Because, you need them to be able to grow your spiritual muscles. Amen. Amen. And when you have grown them, it is that as God begins to grow you and you do the right thing, God, we anoint our head with oil and our cup now runs over. And the goodness of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord follows us everywhere we go. And we're reign in God's house. You see, the key is this. Satan wants to bring us out of God's house. You know, somebody sent something. No, share it on the Royal Diadem. You know, it's something I've seen before, but it struck me. You know, fishes live in water, isn't it? So if you take a fish out of water, you take it out of its habitat. Okay, and it's the same thing. Birds live in the air. If you take a bird and you take it out of its natural habitat, you're going to affect the lifespan of that animal. Same thing with man. Man was made in the image and likeness of God in God's presence. If you take man away from God, separate him, disconnect him from God, that man is ultimately going to. You understand what I mean? So the same thing, we must dwell in the house of the Lord. In love, amen. We don't let anything lure you out, not the blessings, not the challenges, because sometimes Satan gives material blessings, amen. Material blessings, gain without godliness, and the idea is to lure us out of that presence of the Lord. But we must remain there because that's where we're strong, in the presence of the Lord, amen. All right, so. Those are things happening around us. The next thing is that there are some things happening inside of us, in our hearts, infirmities, you know, and loss and attitudes, the sin nature, loss of the flesh, loss of the eyes, the pride of life, you know, that we are supposed to deal with. These things can lead us away from God. So two things can take us away from God, the things outside and the things inside. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12. Hebrews 3:12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says, take heed, brethren. He will not say take heed if there wasn't a need. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So there is a possibility, there is a chance, amen, and we must make sure that it doesn't happen. In fact, many times when the shaking is going on, the Bible talks that I will shake the heavens and the earth, and God is doing that now. As God is shaking, He's supposed to reveal, He's revealing to you and I the areas of our lives, you know, that are already inclined towards departing from the Lord. Amen. The areas of pride, you know, the areas of ambition, you know, the areas of lack of submission, you know, of disobedience, stubbornness, you know, of envy, unforgiveness. You guys, those things are there, you know, and the shaking is supposed to expose those weak areas so that you can remove them, so that only the things that are firmly and strongly in God remain. That's the will of God. So when God is shaking, He's shaking you from good into acceptable will. He's shaking you and I from acceptable will into perfect will. And He's shaking you from perfect will into the fullness of God. Amen. So everything is for growth. Everything is for growth. Nothing is alone in itself. No, and I've seen our parents demonstrate that. If they are doing a wedding for their children, they will come out again and tell you the testimonies that God has done for them in that running around for the wedding, that they have grown spiritually. You know, if they are celebrating something, they will show you, you know, it's not just that thing alone that they're doing. They want that thing to bring glory to God. They want that thing to make them more like God. You know, and we must learn that as well. We ourselves must want more of God. More of God in everything that we are doing. More of God. So that's the way we're going to be able to take care. Because some things, really, brethren, are hidden deep within. They are hidden deep within. Some of these infirmities, they are hidden. It's only when you keep going more for God that you come into light. And then the light shows it up. If you didn't go into light to that degree, you won't see it. You know, there's some, you know, when you're using a microscope, if you're looking at some organisms in biology, when you are, they say, you say, which lens are they using? They're using times 20. When you use times 20, yeah, it's not there. You say it's not there, but it's there. It's on that little slide. It is there on that slide. I can't say anything. Why? Because the magnification of the lens that you are using, the light is not coming at the intensity that can expose that thing. So you have to go to times 40. Then you go to times 40, you now say, okay, I'm seeing it now. Amen. It was there all along. There's some things Bible talks innate. Some things are there, innate stubbornness, innate pride. So we keep, it is when you are looking for more of God that those innate things begin to come up. Amen. Because we must get rid of them. That's the will of God. Amen. We must get rid of them. Otherwise, they can lead us out, particularly when we're under pressure. Let's look at Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, in verse 1. Under pressure. Now it came to pass, in the days when the judges ruled, every man did what was right in his own sight. So this is people doing what is in their heart. Not like God came to Solomon and said, tell me what you want. It was what was in his heart that came out. May our hearts be like that in Jesus' name. That when God comes to give you a blank check, you will ask, amen, the day of decision, you will ask for what you are supposed to ask for. No, that will be what you want. You will not be doing it because, this is what I'm supposed to ask for. Let me give me honesty and humility. But I wish you would give me money. I wish you would give me. I really wanted a Ferrari, but okay, just give me honesty and humility, please. No. It's not what they said I should ask. If you go and read that account, that boy, he was the only one that could have been on the throne. He was not an accident. He was prepared. It was just that he was not thoroughly prepared. The things he asked for, he had looked at his daddy's life, what his daddy's life stood for. He had looked at how God had promised his dad. He recognized that his being there was a fulfillment of the promise to his daddy. And he now determined that it is not going to be for shame, it's going to be for a prolongation of honor and distinction for Israel and for God. That was why he asked for what he asked for. And when he asked for that, God gave him everything else he should, in quotes, have asked for. Brethren, ask for the pearl of great price. That's the pearl. That's what we should ask for. You know, let that be our desire. By exposing yourself to it over and over and over, because you become what you expose yourself to. Alright, so we see this story here in Ruth chapter 1. That the judges ruled, and there was a famine in the land. Tough times. When we get in the fire, that's when we see the snake. And there was a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, who went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He, his wife, and two sons. Because of the famine. Okay? And he left. And the name of the man was what? Elimelech. And the name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. God wants to see, is an example. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and what? And what? Continued there. They continued there. Are you going to where God wants you to go to? Under pressure, don't continue there. Don't continue there. Because he continued there. Verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's wife, died. And she was left and her two sons. I wonder why she didn't ask whether the famine was over. On the other side. Next verse. And they took them, those boys, well, she didn't ask. Those boys grew up to the point where they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. They dwelt there as married couples. It's not in total time. Do children grow up? Up and then they marry, and then in 10 years, no, this is talking about the time they spent married. They were there for too long in the wrong place, and things were happening, and yet they did not discern. Verse 5. And Mahlon and Chilion also, both of all died also, both of them, and the woman was left and her two sons and her husband. And then she now went back. She now, Bible says, she heard how the Lord had visited his people. But why did she leave? Yes, the Lord had visited and given them bread.
Amen.
But the key is this, you know, should they have left in the first place? And when they left, should he have continued there for so long? So this is what God is saying, brethren, that we need to be in the right place at the right time. It's important for us to be able to endure hardship. Amen. As good soldiers of Christ, you have to be able to endure. There are times when you have to abase. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. He said, I am instructed. It's an instruction that God has given me. And I have been so that, and I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know both. Everywhere I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The key here is the will of God. I must keep my eyes on the will of God. What is the will of God? Not my convenience. It's very important. Because it is in that place you develop long suffering. Suffering for a long time. Which is the will of God. So without it, you will not develop long suffering. It's in the place where you embrace humility. When you are corrected. And you are corrected. You know, it breaks your pride. Bible says, I will break the pride of your power. You know, so you allow God to break it, you know, and then you of your own free will now, you now fall upon the stone so that you can be broken until there's, you have no more of your own agenda. Amen. So it's very important to stay with the will of God. You know, look at Genesis 26 verse 1. We see again the same thing. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Next verse. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Amen. Next verse. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. See, the key is, where did God say you should be? It's not where it's convenient. It's not where the food is. It's not where, you know, it's not where it's, life is easier. It's a question of, where did God say? It may be okay for somebody else. Is it okay for you? This is the issue. This is the issue. And God said, no, don't go there. And I will bless you here. For unto thee and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. It's beyond you now. Verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. This is a generational blessing. And we are the last generation. Upon us rests the responsibility of all the other ones. Whatever they did not finish, it's our job to finish it. Amen. Cumulative. Thank you. So it's resting on us. So it's important for us to be where we are supposed to be, so that what God wants to give us meets us in the right place. And in that place, you now see what God does. Look at, let's jump to verse 12. Verse 12. Thank you. Then Isaac sowed where? In that land. The one that God said he should stay. And received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. He's talking about the fullness. He's talking about fullness. We must be allow God to be guiding us. Did God not talk to Elimelech? You must understand. God is not a respecter of persons. He will not talk to Isaac and leave Elimelech to do his own thing. God speaks once, yea, twice. But man does not perceive it. Elimelech did not hear. He was so bent on doing what he wants to do. Brethren, we need to be careful so that we can be awake spiritually for the glory. And don't let ourselves be distracted to one side or to the other. Amen? Amen. Now, how then do we do this? How do we make sure that we're able to do this? You know, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 to 20. Let's read from verse 5. Let's read it together. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Light. Amen. It's important. Our inheritance is in light. The inheritance of the saints in light. We cannot inherit in darkness. We cannot inherit in slumber. We must inherit when we are awake. That's why it's awake unto glory. Amen. We must awake. And let's read the next verse. Read the next verse. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Next verse. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Next verse. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It is so important that every step of the way, we understand what the will of the Lord is for us, as a, for your work, what the will of the Lord is for your children at every point in time. No, what the will of the Lord is for you, for your business, what the will of the Lord is for you, for this and for that, is so important. So what is God saying to us here? The first thing he said is that we should awake. So we should awake spiritually. Awake spiritually, you know, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. No, don't. He's talking here about the fact that we need to have light. Light from God. Operating on the inside. And that light comes into our minds. Bible says God has shined in our minds the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. But that light will not come into your mind if the devil has blinded the mind. They will not blind our mind in Jesus' name. So how does this light come in? It's by prayer. It is by prayer. The first thing, obviously, is that we must be under authority of said spiritual fathers. We must be submitted under their authority. Because it's in their light that we see light. It's so important. It was in Elisha. Elisha did not know whether Jericho was the next place, or whether Jordan was the next place, or whether Bethel was the next place. Elisha was following. Elijah was the one leading. It's important. Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Very important. Let's read that scripture. Thank you. Joshua chapter 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, spiritual fathers, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and do what? Go after it. Next verse. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits of reverence and respect. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. For you have not been this way heretofore. So that we don't miss our way, we must be submitted to sons of Issachar, who have understanding of the times and know what Israel ought to do, and give us, equip us with the capability and the capacity to do it. It's extremely important. That's very important. You know, it's the father. You know, it's the fathers that really keep. That's the responsibility of the fathers. You know, and many times it is them that God talks to. God talked to Isaac. He didn't talk to Esau. He didn't talk to Jacob. They followed Isaac. Maybe they weren't even born. Okay, but it's the fathers that God talks to, and he heard him and he obeyed. You know, and Elimelech's error affected himself and his generation. It's very sobering. Because that's why it's important that we are awake spiritually. There's no other way to say it. we are weak, so we must be under authority. Then they give us light. So in that light now we begin to be. For example, now if you look at the typology of the tabernacle of Moses, in the holy place, you have three items. You have the candlestick, you have the shewbread, and you have the altar of incense. Okay? Now the candlestick was supposed to give light so that you can eat the shewbread and use the strength of the shewbread to carry the altar of incense. What does that mean? It means that, you know, that candlestick is talking about the seven spirits of God. So that's where we pray the love prayers, the prayer of humility, the prayer of wisdom, the prayer of love. Those prayers give us light if you pray from your heart, amen, in faith. If you pray from your heart in faith, they give us illumination, they give us an understanding, so that when we now go to draw life from God, our attitudes are right. We can now receive life in sufficient measure that now enables us to be able to pray with all types of prayer, which is the altar of incense, and then go beyond the veil. And is that going to be that's why we are breaking the veil this year, amen. But it's doing all these things. We know that. I'm not saying anything new. But I'm telling you and I'm stressing you by the help of the Holy Spirit, under covering, through the prayers of our fathers, that it's time to take heed to these things and do them seriously with understanding. So that, you know, you have light. When you now have light, you know, that light now helps you, like it says in Ephesians chapter 5. You now go to the next part. It says, no, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The only way you can redeem time is to buy back the time. No, what you redeem is to buy back. You buy back the time. So what does that mean? It means that there are enough hours in the day to do the will of God. But if you don't redeem the time, Satan, because of days are evil, Satan will fill the day with distractions and activity that will take you out from doing the will of God that God had ordained for you to do that day. So you'll not be able to do the will of God for that day. I'm not saying bad things will happen to you. No. You can watch the film that you wanted to watch. It's not wrong to watch film, please. But what I'm telling you is that devil can get us off, you know, he gets you off, you know, doing something, and he's talking basically wasting your time doing something that you think you should be doing but you should not be doing. And the only way, thank you, make the most of every chance you get, yes, to do, give it to me back in the King James, thank you, give it back to me, yes, redeeming the time. You see, how do you redeem time? It's by travail. It's by strength. When you pray, and particularly you pray in the fourth watch, in Good Morning Jesus, you take back your, that's when you take your day. You take your day and you put, this is mine. And then, so you, as it were, because you are praying in tongues and you're praying the will of God, the Holy Spirit is one praying through you. Hear what he's saying is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're talking to God the Father. So it's a divine conference. So everything we are doing, you are, as it were, you programmed your entire day. So Satan can't come in, and I mean, he can try, but because you've already bought it and you've paid for it, you know, if somebody's trying to take it away, you're going to observe it, except you are sleeping. You should not be sleeping. But if we are awake, okay, if we are awake, then he cannot, we have light. So we can then begin to see, oh, this is not the right thing to do. Let me give you an example. The news came to the Lord Jesus Christ that Lazarus was ill. Legitimate information. The next thing is, what do you do? Remember, the day has already been taken care of. So instead of rushing off in emotion, I ask God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And God says, and whatever God says, that's what you do. So he asked God, and God said, chill, stay back here and pray. Now that doesn't make sense. But that's understanding what the will of the Lord is. But you cannot understand what the will of the Lord is if your emotions are already gone way ahead of you. Hey, Mogbe. Ah, Lazarus, my friend. Ah. And then you go off. You understand what? That's how the devil does it. You know. So you know, he takes one thing after the next verse. Give me the next verse there. The next verse, verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise. So the redeeming the time is the strength. Gives you the strength, the power. You know, one gives you light. Two gives you strength. With light and strength, now you can make the right choices and understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. And then you can do what will the next verse. You can verse 18. You can do what the Lord is and says, be not drunk with wine. You can stay alert, but be filled with the Spirit. So you can, from that now, you can keep walking in the Spirit. You know, until you are filled with the Spirit, so your every thought and word is inspired and motivated and propelled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, next verse. Speaking in psalms, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Next verse. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so that's the progression. You know, we make sure we practice obedience to spiritual instruction. And that's why we pray, we start with those prayers. And that's where to start. Start with those prayers, love prayers. And we pray those prayers. Those prayers give us the light, you know, in a measure, in our minds and bodies. So that we now see what is important. Because now our attitudes are aligned correctly. So we can now eat and draw life properly and effectively, and not just as a routine, or pray like a parrot. We can then travail and pray with all types of prayer. So we can pray, you know, that travail will flush out, you know, the nature of the devil, you know, that's in the soul, the residual nature, you know, and all that, and in the body, and deposit the life and the power of God in your soul, in my soul and my body. Let me just say this, you know, during the Good Morning Jesus prayers, you know, those declarations that we make after we pray, they're so powerful. They're so powerful, and it's important to key our faith in and be praying along actively. You know, they keep telling us we're praying together, we should not be dumb. Can I hear an amen? You know, even though you are muted, you say amen. You know, you have to, you know, be there, you know, and receive and declare, because after you have gone to a declaration that you make in the holiest of all, after you have prayed with travail, is so powerful compared to the one that you have made outside, you know, in the outer court. I mean, they're both confessions, you know, understand what I mean? But this one has been refined and is backed with so much power. It's a shame if there is no amen to say, let it come to me. That's what your amen is saying. Is this going around looking for where to land? So when you just bring it down and say, and you put it down, amen, I'm here, I got this, I got that, amen. Amen. So, you know, same thing, you know, all those declarations for our homes, as head of our home, you know, loving our wives, you know, and all that, for those of us that are married, those of us that are not, you know, single people, God will give you the bone of your bone. Amen. Not only that one, every other one again. Amen. All right. You take it all together. Everything is important in its place. Amen. And then, of course, we build up ourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. All these things we've been taught already, but it's just important that we do it. The praying part. The next part is the feeding part on the Word. We listen to apostolic and prophetic spiritual fathers. We read our Bibles daily. We meditate on it. We find time to study our Bibles. You know, and of course, we obey instruction. It's very important that we do that. You know, because it's the Word and the Spirit that makes us grow up. Okay, so we grow up spiritually. And finally, we prepare for the glory by training ourselves with skills that God can bless. Remember, the glory is not coming to do everything. It's coming upon what you are doing. When we're reading Deuteronomy in the Message Bible, we're talking about your workplace, your barn. It's talking about what do you do? What are you doing? Look at Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, which is a type of the virtuous Christian. Amen. Not just the virtuous woman, the virtuous Christian. Verse 14. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Give it to me first in the King James. Let's read it in the King James. It's talking about this woman. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from far. Remember, merchant ships in those days, They sail on the high seas. You know, they go to pick cotton. From the Americas, and they're taking it somewhere else. So they bring some, so they don't come empty-handed, but they are gone for weeks. They're gone for months. He's talking about consistent effort at something. You at year, you are working on something for years. Want something for years. And then when the time has come, glory has come, God comes to breathe on it. But if you don't have anything that you are working on, God has nothing to breathe on. He's not going to do that part. The preparation part is our part to do. The positioning, the blessing and the expansion, and that's his part. But the positioning and the getting your hands rested and learning the skill, that's our part. Look at it in the Message Bible. You understand? Yes. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back what? Exotic surprises. It's a land of pleasant surprise. Amen. It's a land of pleasant surprise. God's going to surprise you with what you're doing. But you must have something that you're doing. Don't be idle. You know, don't just do the basic minimum. Go beyond the minimum. The Bible says, we have a confession I make. Say, I'm a profitable son. Now I do not only what I've been asked to do, but that which is pleasing in God's sight. Deny yourself some TV. Deny yourself some playing with your friends, some time on chatting on the phone, and get involved in something that is productive. Learn something. Do something that God can bless. Amen. Let us pray. Brethren, let's talk to God. Be alert. Every day should be a day preparing us for the glory. Start learning it now. A little step. Virtuous woman, if I remember Pastor correctly, had three distinct features. She was spiritual. She was industrious. And she helped the needy, the less privileged. Be spiritual. That's the root of it. Thank you, sir. That's the root of it. Then on top of that, be industrious. Work hard. Explore those ideas. When you are praying, God will talk to you. Start preparing. If you're a student, don't wait until the exams are right in front of you. Start reading. Bring your fruit from afar and come with exotic surprises. You will surprise yourself. Don't wait until it's so close by. Start reading now, a little bit at a time. The stamina and the strength to do it is coming from the spirit realm through your relationship with God. Then help the needy. I just want to be where you are.
Dwelling daily in your presence.
Oh Lord,
I don't want to worship from afar.
Please draw me near
to where.
Just want to be where he is, closer and closer and closer, beyond the veil. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, Lord, showing me and encouraging me to see that this is the season of your glory, and you want me to prepare for your glory, both spiritually and physically. And so, Heavenly Father, I ask for fresh mercy to enable me to set 2,000 cubits in reverence towards my spiritual fathers, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to esteem my brethren as better than myself, walking in lowliness and meekness with long suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, so that progressively I will walk in peace and in love, bringing forth fruit in season and out of season, that out of me will come sufficient measures of the power of God, of the wisdom of God, to cause my gaze to be set upon you, that I will always be in your presence, surrounded by your glory. And that, Heavenly Father, you help me to be diligent in my work, not as unto man, but as unto the Lord, so that I will bring my fruit of exotic surprises from afar, and you will bless the work of my hands. You will open up the vaults, the sky vaults of your resources upon all I am, and all that I do, and all that pertains unto me, so that your word concerning me will come to pass, that I will be a delightsome land. Have mercy on me. Help me to be faithful unto the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now pray in the spirit. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.